This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Happy to welcome in on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline our friend John Feinstein, bestselling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. I got to go into Golfdom. I've heard very good things about it from people who have shopped there, so I need to check it out.
I know Jason can. Jason's been there many times.
So you've never walked into Golfdom? Really?
I haven't. I mean, it's only in Tysons.
Right.
I don't go to Tysons. The Tysons used to have, we've talked about this, Luciano's, that great pizzeria.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go out of my way to go shop there or go to the movies there. But since Luciano's went away, and the traffic getting bad is so bad these days that I don't go there as often.
Well, I can tell you.
But I need to check it out on a weekend.
Golfdom's got some great gear. If you like golf apparel,
yeah,
they got it.
Does John strike you as a guy that's into golf apparel?
I don't know. Are you?
No. I mean, I have a lot of golf shirts, but, you know, it's funny. I was telling somebody the other day that about half of my golf shirts have gone into mothballs because – over the years, Golf Channel changed their logo so much that I would get like 5-6 shirts a year.
Right.
But since they fired me, I won't wear this stuff anymore. So I'll probably have to give it to Goodwill.
They said, you're faded.
All right. So I want to get to the Mickelson thing. So before you hang up, we are going to talk about Mickelson. But let's start with Barry Trotz, because you are an Islanders
fan.
That's
right. Look at that.
Yes.
And now you're a Barry Trotz fan.
I am. Well, I've always been a Barry Trotz fan. I liked him when he was in Nashville. Didn't even know him then, but always thought he was a good coach. Thought he was a great hire when he came here. He's a class act. He's obviously one of the better coaches in the league. And I'm currently writing a thank you note to Ted Leonsis, you know, for letting him walk, because that's a great move for the Islanders. And if they can re-sign Tavares and make a trade for a goalie, they could actually be competitive next year, which would be a nice change of pace.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be shocked if Barry Trotz maybe, I don't know, tries to land Philip Grubauer. Why wouldn't he? I mean, he has experience.
Well, wouldn't shock me at all. I mean, he knows Grubauer played well this year when Holtby was struggling. He's a good young goalie. I think he's only 26. They probably have to give up something to get him, but that's okay because that's a goalie, and right now the Islanders don't have a goalie.
So it's kind of win-win, right? Because the Caps didn't want him, clearly didn't value him, coaches in general. So it's worked out great for Trotz. It'll work out fine for the Caps because there's not just one coach, and Riordan's been groomed. Everyone likes him. So I think it'll be a win-win, but it is kind of a shame. It still puts a little bit of a damper on the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it doesn't take away from winning the cup, obviously. But, you know, Ted and Brian McClellan obviously have a lot of faith in Riordan. He's well-respected, and, you know, hockey coaches to some degree seem to be interchangeable. They get fired more than any coaches in any other sport. They felt Riordan was ready. It's just that, like you said, the timing is a shame because there's this big celebration, and Barry was very much a part of it. He waited a long time to win a Stanley Cup as a coach, the way the franchise waited forever to win a Stanley Cup. And I don't think this is about Ted not wanting to spend an extra $2 million a year, because they'll make more than that in gear sales in the next month.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that was it. I think it was just they felt like, all right, you know, we don't want to pay a coach $4 million a year, whatever it would have taken, and we think Todd's ready. And it's kind of a cutthroat business to make, but the best franchises are usually the ones that make cutthroat business decisions. I mean, nobody's more cutthroat than Bill Belichick.
Right.
You know, he would cut his mom if he thought it would help the team. So you can't say, oh, this is terrible. It's just a little disappointing in the wake of the great celebration.
Yeah. Right. Agreed. Did you pay any attention to NBA draft? I'm guessing no.
Well, I was actually doing – I'm in Hartford right now, which is why I'm in my car. And I was doing a thing last night with Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka. So I wasn't – you know, I couldn't watch the draft. But I checked it out once I got back to the room and saw – who went where. I thought the most intriguing thing in the draft was the Doncic for Trae Young deal.
Right.
One team wanted a big guard, the other team wanted a little guard, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for both franchises. But I didn't think there were a whole heck of a lot of surprises.
Yeah. Right. Well,
I felt good for obviously Herder. Kevin Herter from Maryland. I even felt
Going 19.
Yeah, I even felt good for Grayson Allen. I know he's a controversial figure, and a lot of people, especially in this area, hate him. But I think he certainly matured over the last year, and he was really happy to.
I thought he came off good in the interview last night.
Yeah, I felt good for him.
Well, Grayson Allen's a bright kid, and that was never an issue. It was just his anger management problem, but.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's perfect for him to go to play for the Jazz because Quinn played for Krzyzewski, so there's that bond, and Quinn will have an understanding of what Grayson knows and doesn't know. The Jazz are an underrated franchise. I mean, they Quinn's done a terrific job there, and they can be a team to be reckoned with in the West. The problem being, of course, that you've got two dominant franchises out there that are going to be tough to go through for the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm intrigued. What exactly were you doing with Koepka and Rory?
Well, I've done something for the last couple of years here. Hartford, you know, they've done a great job of getting star players to come.
Yeah.
And you can't pay a player a guarantee. So what they do is they ask the players to make appearances during the course of the week. Jordan Spieth does something on Tuesday night. He's the defending champion, obviously. And when Rory wanted to come here because he liked the golf course. And so when he decided to come here for the first time last year, they said, you know, will you do a Q&A? And Rory said, yeah, I'll do that. And they asked him who he'd like to do it with. And thankfully for me, he said me.
Mm.
And so it was supposed to be Rory and I again this year. But then when Brooks won the Open on Sunday, they said, well, why don't we add Brooks to the mix? And it was actually kind of fun. The best answer of the night was I said to the two of them, if Mike Davis called you and said, what do I do to make the U.S. Open better? What would you do? And Rory said, I wouldn't take the call.
Wow. Hey, that's a good lead-in because we can get into the Mickelson thing too. But how long has Mike Davis been the executive director of the USGA?
Since 2010, and
okay.
He's been in the setup of the golf courses since 2006.
Okay, so there have been problems. There have been problems at least for the last 4 years that I can remember. There have been some sort of criticism about the way they set it up, and you know, and Mike Davis is getting killed. And then Mickelson did what he did. I don't understand. All these players complaining. Why don't the players just get together, the top 100, and say, if Mike Davis is the executive director next year, we're not playing the U.S. Open. Why don't they just show
their power? What do you think the chances are that would happen?
Zero. But they all complain about the course. I don't understand that.
Brooks Koepka's not complaining. He won the last two U.S. Opens. He thinks the setups have been great.
Mm.
You know, controversy over setups at the U.S. Open go way before Mike Davis. I mean, because the USGA has always taken the approach, we are going to push the golf course to its limit and make it as hard as we can without going over the line to be unfair. The problem is when you do that, sometimes you go over the line and the course becomes unfair. And of course, the best example, sadly enough, was also at Shinnecock in 2004 when they decided to, there was a big winds on Saturday night, dried out the greens, and then they did, Tom Meeks was in charge back then, and he decided to roll the greens on Sunday morning. And the golf course became, you know, they needed a clown's mouth on the seventh hole. I mean, the hole was essentially unplayable, and you might remember that's when they had to actually water greens during the round.
Right.
Which is unheard of. That's not golf. And so that's when Tom Meeks was removed a year later. Mike Davis was put in charge. He made a lot of changes to set up. He got a lot of very good reviews early on. And I don't know why it seemed to me that Davis had figured out you don't have to have even par or five over par or whatever it was as your winning score every year. I mean, they had two 16 unders. Rory won with 16 under at Congressional, and Brooks won last year with 16 under at Erin Hills. So, and he put in drivable par fours. He cut the rough back. He graded the rough and made some real improvements. But it seems like every time they have a low winning score, the USGA Executive Committee goes crazy and says, we can't have 16 under winning the U.S. Open. So it's not a coincidence that after all sorts of records got broken in Chicago in 2003 when Jim Furyk, that they blew it in 2004 at Shinnecock. I don't think it's a coincidence that after Koepka shot 16 under last year, that they went over the line at Shinnecock. So, and the other thing is, the other reason they wouldn't do it, Jason, is most guys like Mike Davis.
Really?
He's a very likable guy. Yeah, he's a very likable guy. But they certainly didn't like what he did on Saturday. What happened on Saturday was almost as bad as what happened in 2004 because the morning players played a completely different golf course than the afternoon players. And Mike said, well, the weather report didn't say it was going to be as windy. I lived on Eastern Long Island every summer of my life. In the afternoon, in the summertime, on the water, the wind comes up. It doesn't matter what the weather report says. They blew it.
Now, John, you're right. I mean, Koepka did not criticize the USGA or the course setup publicly, but I guarantee you behind closed doors he was criticizing it.
No, and I spent some time with both Brooks and Rory last night and in private. And, they both agreed. What they agreed on, of course, Rory wasn't there Saturday, as we know, that you can't have, you know, as what Brooks said was, I'm watching in the morning and guys are hitting shots into greens and they're backing up to the flag stick. In the afternoon, you hit the same shot, it goes through the green.
Right.
And you have no shot. Yeah. Well, you can't have that. You just can't have that. It doesn't matter what you shoot. It's just wrong.
Hmm.
And it was a screw up. And of course, it led to the Mickelson thing because Phil was clearly frustrated. He was playing poorly. The golf course setup was difficult, although he played relatively early Saturday, remember?
Yeah, he did.
So a lot of his poor play was on him. And the interesting thing is, if Phil had just come in and said, you know what, I lost my mind for a minute. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I was frustrated. They're singing happy birthday. I'm remembering that I'm 48. I apologize. End of story. You know, anybody who's ever played golf at any level can relate to that.
Right.
And you go, oh, poor Phil, two-shot penalty, obviously, end of story. But he concocts this crazy story that, oh, I knew just what I was doing, and I was taking advantage of the rules. When you break a rule, and then you say, I'm taking advantage of the rules, that's saying, I cheated.
Mm.
And he had to be disqualified, not based on either rule regarding hitting a moving ball or stopping a ball, but based on 33-7, which says the committee can disqualify you for a gross breach of etiquette. Saying, I cheated, gross breach of etiquette. And all sorts of people texted me and said, what about when guys commit pass interference in the end zone? What about when teams intentionally foul at the end of a basketball game? Not comparable.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing in those rules that says you can be disqualified for that, number one. And number two, golf is the only sport where the players are expected to call their own penalties, to officiate for themselves. It's a different sport. So it's apples and oranges. And I like Phil. You guys know I like Phil. But he absolutely should have been disqualified. And I think the reason he put out that apology Wednesday was because he knew he blew, because all the players were against him. And usually players defend other players.
Mm-hmm. That was his big F you to
the USGA.
The
thing I didn't like, and this is just thing I didn't like is like he and Beef were just laughing about it. Like it was and that was really like kind of an immature, it was not a good look. And I don't know why I care, but for some reason, golf is different.
Yeah, but if you were playing with Phil, you probably would have laughed about it, too.
Maybe. It just was not
a
good
look. I mean, I think Beef was laughing more in shock than anything.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like that in my life. Yeah. And all the other guys said that, too.
Yeah.
And again, going back to Phil's always got to prove he's the smartest guy in the room. And he said to Beef, walking off screen, I don't even know what I made. Then he signs his card, spends 20 minutes inside, clearly, you know, calculating what he's going to say, and comes out and says, oh, I knew exactly what was going on because I'm Phil Mickelson and I'm smarter than everybody. If he was that smart, what he would have done was let the ball roll out to wherever it was going and then declare it unplayable and move it to a place where he's got an easier shot or go back and play it from where he putted it, which he's allowed to do under the rules anytime he wants to. That's a one-shot penalty, and he's got an easier shot.
That's what David Duval said.
Well, and that's what a bunch of players said. And so, you know, so I'm the smartest guy in the room, except, Phil, you're not that smart, actually.
Yeah. I mean, this whole notion that it somehow saved him strokes, it was laughable.
Oh, no. That's the right word. It was laughable. And you know what the shame of it is? Brooks Koepka just became the third guy in 60 years to win back-to-back U.S. Opens.
Yeah.
And when I did a bunch of radio shows Saturday, I got asked about Phil and the golf course setup.
Yep.
You're right.
All right. Thank you, John.
Enjoy Hartford. Yeah,
have a great weekend. Talk to you next week.
You too.
Thanks.
I feel like when guys put you on speaker,
right?
He clearly was on speaker, you have to yell back at them.
Pretty much.
Because you think that they can't really hear you, even though they can hear you.
Well, right. We're also yelling because we're having a hard time hearing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Speaker,
but it's tough because when he's driving, he's not allowed to hold it anymore, right? You're not allowed to hold your phone and drive, right?
No chance.
No, but John should be smart enough to pull over.
He ain't going to do
that. He's a busy man. He has places to go.
You think he's
going to
pull over?
I mean, he's got to go squeeze Brooks Koepka's bicep. I mean, you were desperate for us to ask.
It goes 100 miles a minute.
He was doing that during the Q&A.
By the way, what's going on in the Brazil-Costa Rica game?
They're fouling Neymar every time he touches the ball.
All right,
they got other players.
There's so much time left in this game. You don't need to sweat.
Apparently, that's been
happening.
Say
that. You always say that, and it ends up like 1-0.
Just relax.
That happened
just
in the first game too, right? Isn't that what they're doing? They're just mauling them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same thing.
All right. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines 800-636-1067. What did you think of Troy Brown Jr. being the pick for the Wizards last night at number 15 in the NBA draft? We'll take your calls next on that 800-636-1067.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Remember, you can join the Junks and 106.7 The Fan for our summer dress party. It's coming up Saturday, July 14th. That is less than a month away at Whitlow's on Wilson. It starts at 4 p.m. Whitlow's on Wilson, where it's good times with good friends. Get all the details online now at thefandc.com/summer. Had a great time at Whitlow's last year. We're doing it there again, and we are looking forward to seeing you there on Saturday, July 14th.
What's any update on the News Babe invites, Valdezzi?
No update.
All right. We have two yeses.
Yes.
We've got
Melissa Malay
and we've got Annie Yu. And we've got about 28 other invites out there.
Yeah. Sarah Simmons will be out of town.
There will be people. They always show up. Valdez, just get on it. It has to be a priority. He will.
I like it.
He'll hook it.
It'll be fine.
There'll be a handful there.
It'll be awesome like every year. And you do your worry bit.
It would be perfect. It would be a perfect event. 100% perfect if Rom didn't show up.
Well,
we know he's going to show up. So it's going to be less than
basically
perfect.
Had to have him kicked out last
what
year.
What we could do, we could conspire with his wife and have some event planned that he has to attend. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure she doesn't want to go.
Just lie to him and say there's like a $5 million free, like blackjack free roll.
Yeah, there's
roll.
a blackjack free roll.
I don't even think that would get him.
That party's at Split Lowe's.
Right, exactly.
I don't think that would prime away from the event.
No, maybe she could do some sort of family obligation thing on that day. Like, you know, like maybe invite, his parents out to dinner or something.
And yeah.
He'd blow it off.
Yeah, he would blow it off. Yeah, yes. He absolutely would.
To hang out with cakes and
something. So desperate for attention dollars.
And have Marina set it up. I call her Maria the first time, I think.
I don't know. It's Marina.
Anyway, we're just warning you, if you're coming to the event at Whitlow's on the 14th, Rom will be there.
Most likely,
wearing
yes.
the Junkies jersey, 21 on the back.
Yes, that's his thing.
Let's hope he's busy. All right. We'll bang out some calls here if you want to chime in. You want to chime in on the Wizards draft in particular. But if any of the draft picks jumped out at you, again, this is I'm sure I'll be wrong. My opinion is solid pick. I'm neutral on it. I don't think he's going to be a star, but I don't think he's going to be a bust. So, I don't know. I probably would like to go for more. Maybe this is the wrong approach. Like more a high ceiling kind of guy. Like, just really swing for the fences.
You mean like a Zaire Smith?
Just somebody.
Although Zaire Smith was...
like a freak athlete.
Zaire Smith was drafted and traded. So, was he actually off the board Was Zaire Smith off the board when the...
No, he was available when the Wizards picked.
He was. Now, that would have been a high-ceiling guy because he is an athletic freak.
Yeah.
His vertical must be 50 inches. I mean, it's stupid.
And Jason's right. A lot of people had projected Robert Williams to go to the Wiz at 15, and he fell all the way to 27. So what was going on with that?
I don't know why he fell that far.
Got to find out.
Because he was projected to be like 13 to 16, somewhere in there.
I didn't realize the holidays. I didn't realize Aaron Holiday was related to Drew Holiday and the brothers and sisters and parents.
And Justin Holiday?
And Justin Holiday.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a loaded
gene pool.
Think
about those genetics.
Justin Holiday's not in the league anymore, though, right? Or is he
was with, what was he?
He's with the Bulls last year, I believe.
I think he was. I think he was playing last year.
He's in the league.
So sick.
All three of them in the league.
All right, let's go.
And I believe the sister plays. Didn't she play at UCLA, too? I think the sister played, too.
Probably did.
Let's go to Joe in D.C. Joe, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
JoJo.
Did you punch him up there, Valdezzi? Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up,
man?
What's up, guys? First time caller. Just wanted to say I've been a Bullets fan for a long, long time. I know even calling them the Bullets dates me. I'm really frustrated just with the general direction of the team. John Wall came out and said, I want a young, athletic, high-ceiling, big. They take an unathletic small forward that doesn't have a shot when there's so many other players on the board that really could help the team, not just immediately, but in the near future. Excuse me, in the near future as well. I don't know if Ernie Grunfeld has some sort of blackmail pictures of Ted Leonsis or what, but it just seems like there's this continual ineptitude that's demonstrated by the GM.
Well, let's not bury the pick yet.
Well, I wouldn't say he's unathletic. I mean, he's not Russell Westbrook, but I'm not going to say he's unathletic.
He's got great defensive anticipation if you watch any of the highlights of him. So, I mean, there's definitely athleticism in there. He's just not a freak.
Right.
I mean, he was a 5-star recruit coming out of high school.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. But, he's got to work on some things. And he's 18 years old. I mean,
yeah, that's a big thing.
He's so young. He's just still learning the game.
They said it. They liked his versatility. Can play a couple positions on offense and defense. I thought what I saw that he has a decent stroke. He just needs to rep it out. It might be some potential there.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously very good attacking the basket. He uses his size very well. Yeah, I think he's going to be a complimentary piece. And maybe that's all you get typically at 15. Let's go to...
Can you imagine, by the way, being 19 and being a rookie in the NBA? No. Just how overwhelming that has to be for a guy like... I mean, most of the top 10.
Yeah, all of them.
Those guys are either 19 or 20 years old.
I mean, hell, how many freshmen were drafted?
Troy Brown turns 19 in late July. He'll be 19 when the season starts. A young 19.
I mean, 1, 2, 3. I mean, you got Doncic basically was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
What, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 of the first 10... are probably 18 or 19.
Right.
Let's go to Mike in Arlington. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. The NBA draft isn't what it used to be, but I found it pretty freaking compelling last night. I got to tell you, once it was on. Mike, what's up?
Hey, how you doing this morning, fellas?
What's up, Mike?
The draft was a disaster. John Wall, he's the floor general. He said we needed a big. We didn't get a big. We had Robin Williams out there. We didn't get him. Now, how can the person that we should have got was Robin Williams? Where did he go? He went to Boston. Now we got to compete with him. We got to compete with Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis. We need bigs like that. But now what we got to do now, we got to try to trade Satoransky and Gortat. Now, y'all see what Gortat did. The last of the regular season, he bombed out. And especially in the playoffs, they just left him in his tracks. He played no defense. We need a big. And Jan Mahimi, he just clumsy. And y'all can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why in the world would they go out to get some Troy Brown when they got Otto Porter and then they talking about Kelly Oubre?
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I just think it's ridiculous when you got players like that. And Troy Brown, he's no Kelly Oubre, and he's definitely not a Porter. We don't have time. We're not trying to sit up here and build a team. We already have a team. We're trying to compete. We cannot compete without a big.
But, Mike, hold on a second. I think what they like about Brown is his versatility, that he can spell Wall and Beal. He can spell Oubre and Porter. He's not going to be a guy that you're going to rely on for 30 minutes a night, but he can fill in all those different spots. And
eventually,
I like the fact that he can play defense, too.
Yeah.
Which is something this team desperately needs.
You're right.
Okay, because Gortat, he's not cutting it. Gortat is washed up. Mahimi, he's clumsy. We need a big, just like John Wall said. He's the floor general. He knows what we need out there on the floor.
Mm-hmm. So they still may try and move Gortat.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Yeah. So I mean, he's not 100% locked going to be on the roster opening night. So
I'll tell you one thing though. We could definitely compete if we went out and traded to get DeMarcus Cousins. Now we'd definitely be in a running for a championship if we went out to get him.
And people have been saying that for
years.
Yeah,
he's just a complete disaster.
As much as I distrust Ernie
Grunfeld.
Great
player, but terrible teammate.
I distrust Grunfeld because of his track record. And I love John Wall. But I'm not ready to give John Wall the GM hat and just let him start picking all the players for the team. I mean, there's a reason Ernie Grunfeld is still instilled as the general
manager
of the team.
True, but the team didn't need another swingman.
I generally agree with you. But then they drafted another one. Well, not even a swingman, but a combo guard in the second round.
Well, he's going to stay over in Europe for at least a year or two.
I don't know.
I'm not
what,
worried about him.
I don't
him.
Know what Robert
yeah, but
Williams.
Why not use it on something you could, you know, take a flyer on?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because they're the Wizards.
Right.
And I don't know why Robert Williams slipped to 27 because he was slated, like I said, to go middle first round. So.
Well, there might be a little clue from Danny Ainge because last night, I don't know if you guys read about this. Terry Rozier called Danny Ainge right before the Celtics pick to ask him who they were picking. And it was on Bleacher Report webcast.
That's
and he
right.
talks about it. You should listen to this. It's pretty wild.
You are after the Sixers pick, so I think you're on the clock.
I can call him right now, and it's perfect.
Oh, my God.
Sixers got the next pick, right?
Sixers are going right now.
Okay.
All right, he's literally, I see Danny Ainge.
Why I got to see if he don't answer, he's gonna look bad.
No, it's not. I can't believe you're doing this.
He's busy. If he don't answer, he's busy.
Yeah.
No,
I think he's really busy.
No, he likes me a lot.
He's probably got a draft pick to make.
He might be worried to see a call coming from you on.
Yeah.
Danny. What's up? Who is gonna be?
I gotta draft a point guard.
You know, I need to really know who is gonna be so I can, you know. In a little inside scoop.
We're trying to find out right now.
Try to find out right now. Okay, you don't really want to give me the inside scoop. I understand.
No, I do. I wish I could tell you, but I think it's going to be Bob Williams, but we're working looking at all the medical stuff.
Okay, gotcha. You know, I just wanted to call and mess with you a little bit, see who it was. You know?
Yeah. All right, brother.
All right, man, I'm going to talk to you.
Hold on. He hasn't looked at the medical. He's looking at the medical stuff while they're on the clock. Shouldn't he have done that already?
Well, he was probably stunned that he was still
couldn't
available.
Couldn't believe he was there.
Yeah.
He's like, well, why is this guy still here at 27?
Let's see.
I hate to be a Debbie Downer.
So Robert Williams had a knee injury. I don't know if that was this year. Did he play 2 years at A&M? I think he played 2 years at A&M.
I believe he did.
So he had a knee injury, so maybe that's why he slipped. And by the way, who calls him Bob Williams? I never heard that.
Apparently, Danny Ainge does. It's kind of his bit.
That might violate FCC regulation.
Because he put him on the air without him knowing?
Right.
Yeah, he unknowingly was on air.
He's not going to complain. But that's not on the air. He was on Twitter.
Hey, stop being such a radio nerd. Yeah. What are you doing over there?
Sounded like he was on the air.
No, I mean, it was on the internet.
Hey, yeah, that's what I mean.
Why are you trying to narc people out, Valdez?
Radio Insider.
Yeah, it wasn't
Why don't
a radio
you go
show.
Work for the FCC?
I think you do whatever you want on the internet.
Probably make more money.
I can't believe he had the balls to do it. They're working. Right. They're the most important 10 minutes of the first round.
I can't believe Danny Ainge picked up.
And Danny Ainge is tolerating this. He's got to be thinking, what is this kid doing?
No, he probably thought it was an emergency.
Right.
If one of your star players is calling you during the draft, he's probably thinking, I got to pick this call.
Why is this millennial calling me?
Yeah, is he in jail?
Why is a millennial even talking on the phone? I thought all they do is text these days. They actually have human conversations on the phone? That's the most shocking thing.
I'd be bitter though if I was Danny, because you know, have some confidence in Terry.
He just wanted some skinny. That's all.
And I now think you he know Terry was being kind of silly, but I'm shocked he answered the call.
I am shocked.
This is literally the most important 10 minutes that you're going to have.
Somebody booked Danny Ainge for Bother the Pro. We're bringing that segment back.
I'm telling
He'll pick
you,
up the
he
phone.
Answered. He answered because he thought Terry Rozier was in trouble.
Give me. Do you think if Josh Doctson called Jay Gruden in the middle of the first round as the Skins were picking, he's going to answer the phone?
He might.
And talk to him.
Hey, Josh, why are you calling, man? We're on the clock. We need to make an important pick. We're about to pick another wide receiver, man. That sounds more like John Gruden.
You got
to
be very
personal.
That's close enough. Yeah, go with it.
Hey, don't take DJ Moore. He's going to take my spot.
Hey, that DJ Moore, man, I like him.
What I'm saying is if there's one time during the year where the player's not going to call you, it's during the draft. So if he is calling you, you're thinking he's in trouble. That's why he picked up.
Okay. But then why didn't he just say, hey, bro, I don't know if you know what's going on here, but I'm about to make a pick.
You should have said, hey, are you in trouble?
All right, kind of busy.
Right.
Well, he's cool. He's
all right, when we come back, we'll take a few more Wizards calls, and I think EB might entertain us with some entertainment page. That's all coming up next. Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Speaking of NBC Sports Washington, we'll be joined by Chase Hughes coming up at 9 a.m. to talk more Wizards.
By the way, the Brazil-Costa Rica game, I'm a loser on the total. It's not going over 2.5. That's a big fat loser is what that is. Now, I just need Brazil to win, and so do you.
I do need Brazil to win.
Costa Rica's effing with them right now.
I'm getting a little concerned because it's close to the half. I think there's about 2 minutes left, and it's 0-0.
Yeah.
Which is
and no, we need Brazil to
no
score.
Bueno. I don't know how to say no bueno in Portuguese. I think it's similar to no bueno, but I don't like what's transpiring so far. I'd like to see a little more offense.
I'm just telling you, I'm starting to get a little worried on this
my
one.
My prediction of 2-0 Brazil at the half is looking very dicey.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
It's borderline
impossible.
They'll be
lucky to win 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0 wins. Yeah. I'll take a squeaker win.
Do soccer fans get bitter when we say 1-0 and not 1-0?
I don't know.
Same thing.
I know.
It's fine.
All right, boys, let me tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment. I always like to see how long Valdez will go with the EP music, even when we're not talking EP.
It's a good bit.
He
I like
will
it.
Grind it.
Yes, he will.
He just force it.
Because he knows that we will actively sabotage the EP at every single opportunity.
I need to know what's going on in Hollywood.
Is that more important than the Brazil game?
But 10 times more important.
Not to us, it's not.
It's not.
Johnny Depp is in the news. Remember we had these reports a few years ago about all of his wild spending?
Yes.
And it's crazy. He actually was accused by – there's some lawsuit.
Some of the details are just blow your mind.
So he was actually accused of spending $30,000 a month on wine. Oh. And he said, that's outrageous. He says, because it's far more. He spends at least $50,000 a month on wine.
That's great.
Could you imagine?
That's a lot of Rodney Strong.
He spends $200,000 a month on private planes, $150,000 a month on round-the-clock security, $300,000 a month to maintain his staff of 40 people. He owns an $18 million yacht, a $4 million record label that's failed.
Well, that's the dumbest investment so far that I've heard.
And $3 million. No, this one tops it.
Right.
$3 million to shoot Hunter Thompson's ashes out of a cannon.
Well, the funny part about that is the reported amount was $3 million. He said, no, it wasn't $3 million. It was $5 million.
Right.
Who's Hunter Thompson?
He gets bitter.
Who's Hunter Thompson? He was a writer.
An author.
Okay.
He gets salty when people say he didn't spend X amount.
Right. Like, he wants you to be accurate.
Right. He said 30,000 in wine. Ha! It was 50K.
Jason, you've seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Long time ago.
Never saw it.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm bits and pieces.
It's like based on Hunter Thompson.
Is it Del Toro and Depp in that movie? Haven't seen
it. So does Depp have any money in the bank? Does he have anything?
I don't know.
They say that he's blown almost all of his $650 million fortune.
I mean, that is ridiculous.
He had $650 million?
If I were him, I would be lining up every single Pirates of the Caribbean sequel I can get my hands on. I'd do 10 of them.
Now, here's an interesting
little... He's going busto.
What an idiot.
Here's an interesting little subplot, too. They say that when he acts, especially I think when he does some of these big movies like Pirates of the Caribbean, he has an earpiece, and he didn't deny it, where a sound engineer is like feeding him lines.
He's got a Valdez in his ear.
He's got a Valdez.
Does he really?
Feeds him lines. He says,
he's got a joke writer.
He says, I've got bagpipes, I got a baby crying, bombs going off. You know, all this stuff going on, and I guess he needs some help.
Hey, you know what? If he wants to overpay me, I'll go over there with the replay machines and play all that stuff in his earpiece. I would do it. You
I
kidding?
Can't believe he was worth $6.50, and he's got 65 cents.
Well, I mean, who knows? He's.
You know what? I know how it feels.
On a lesser scale.
I was going through all my finances yesterday.
Oh, you were? Hold on.
What is going on?
You have it on that.
You got a house of
cards. You have it on that little ledger book?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited to see it.
Hey, I'm stressed.
Let me see it.
You got a house and cars over there.
I'm not letting you see this.
Let me see it. We'll just ship that over here.
It's personal.
I'm going to steal that.
I was just going through what my intake is for the rest of the year and what's going out for the rest of the year.
What? Just cracks me up. You make a lot of money. I don't know what you're doing.
I'm telling you, it's just going.
I don't know what you're doing.
By the way,
you'd be amazed.
Dan Gilbert is shaking his boots. Quicken's going to go out of business with you putting all that ledger sheet.
Look,
look, how many pages is that?
It's a lot.
I got my coming in number. I got mortgage. I got Mooney. I got Vacasa. I got cars, credit cards.
That Mooney deal was supposed to take the stress off you.
I still got to pay him every month.
But the best part is
it's less than you used to.
I got my guy Nelson, who's my landscaping guy, cell phones, investments, more cell phones, DirecTV, other credit cards.
Who are you, Jerry Colangelo with all the cell phones
Gas
over there?
Gas and electric.
But Brian, I can't keep up with the Colangelos.
Vector Security, Lourdes, my housekeeper, Best Buy.
You know what? JP's mom? Like Johnny Depp.
I know. That's why I said I can feel for him.
Right. How much you playing for your private plane?
Why don't you cut out the housekeeper and have T clean the house?
She ain't going to do that. She won't do as good a job. I'll say that.
Your girl.
That's it's $100 a month that we spend on her. That's the best $100 to spend on the housekeeper.
Well, she comes
house
by
cleaner.
She comes house what, once a month then?
Once a month.
The house is hurting for about 28 days out of the month. Then.
I can't spend
once
anymore.
Once a month is a little bit nuts.
Three times a month? I used to do two times a month.
Once a month.
And it was hurting.
I do that blicky once a week.
Yeah.
What do you spend?
Weekly.
What do you spend?
$110.
Well, you're spending $440 a month?
Yeah.
His house is nice and clean. Yours is hurting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't have Mooney.
That's why Jason's walking around with a check to Mooney or whatever every 2 seconds.
I don't have a lot of those expenses.
Is he cutting a check for $1,000 a month to Mooney?
No. I am not.
I don't know why you're doing that.
Well, what do you mean?
He's got to get out from underneath the house payment. Yeah. You know what? Your EP is dead. I want to keep going through all finances.
And I'm not even done. I got more stuff I got to talk about. Insurance, other expenses.
What's under other?
Like food, dining, you know, just.
You need a tuna can.
Like last night. Last night with the bonefish.
Yeah.
Spent money there.
Right.
Well, stop going to bonefish. Get some tuna.
Thursday night, we always go
out to dinner. Expenses.
Yeah, you don't.
It's my son's 14th birthday. Happy birthday, Brendan. We're going out to dinner tonight. Going to Grill Marks and Olney.
Well,
probably
going to
drop $200.
Here's the other thing. We're going on vacation Sunday, so we don't have any food in the house. So there's nothing to cook.
You're rationing down. I see what you're doing.
Right. So
smart.
She's not going to go out and just buy stuff for dinner when we're leaving in 2 days. So
right.
We just go out.
Why are you going on vacation then?
Good point.
Very good point.
Add that to
vacation. That's stupid.
Vacation.
I can give you a hand. This is, you know, come in here. We'll tell you how to live nubs. Yeah. How to cut corners.
Exactly.
Spending habits of AWOD, just on a larger scale.
I really do.
Yeah. Stupid.
Yeah, Lurchwad.
Yeah, I have no
Bishwad.
If you start living like AWOD, you're going to walk in with ice cream cones on your shorts and we're going to Joan. So you might not want to follow him too closely.
I might have to take hand-me-downs.
Is it? Can I ask a question, Jason?
Mm-hmm. Please do.
Oh, Brazil. I had a great chance. Sorry. Go ahead.
What is this kind of starting to stress you out because you're starting to think about the cost of colleges for your two daughters and you're...
Well, no, because I actually have that set aside already.
Right.
Okay.
Because you've been doing it your whole life.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. I didn't know if you might have been behind and
here's what's stressing him out. Nil-nil Brazil, Costa Rica. Okay? Let's live in the now.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
That's what's stressing him out.
I have to list wagering losses.
Yeah, you have to put that on there, too.
You got a lot of vices. That's what's holding you back there, Rick.
I know. I'm stupid. Yeah. I'm a horrible financial planner.
But at least you didn't pay for the notebook. It's a lock. You took that from the front office.
Yes,
that Colette gave that to you. Yeah. 100%.
Just think about all the stuff. See how bad you'd be if you didn't steal
anything
so much.
That says Staples on it. Believe me, I didn't go to Staples.
Right.
The Staples even exist
That's
anymore?
Paid for by Entercom.
I used to have a Staples in my neighborhood, and
I don't know.
Closed up shop. Kind of bitter about that.
I hate going in office supply stores.
I know.
I just walk in and look around. Like, what? I need 20 highlighters. I need 80,000 sheets of paper.
No, but every once in a while you do need something, and it's nice to have it nearby.
The only thing I need from there, ink.
Right.
Ink.
Toner.
That's it.
Yeah, you got
to
go
buy that online. Yeah. Have it shipped right to your front door.
Right.
Ship
well, you need to think ahead on that.
Jason,
when you're trying to print something,
I know.
You got no toner.
I know.
That's when you got to go to Staples.
Valdez loves to ask me questions. Go ahead.
Do you have dog supplies and stuff on there as well?
Well, that would probably go in other expenses.
Yeah. Yeah, like paying Neil Greenberg to train your dog.
I just thought that should be itemized.
That's an expense.
Well, that way I can be a little more specific.
Dog doesn't eat six bowls. His dog eats like two bowls every 2 days.
Two scoops a day.
His dog's probably starving.
No, she's fine. The vet said two scoops a day is good. Right. Maybe a scoop and a half.
Right.
But we get the I get this brand called Fromm. It's only $12.
What is it? Because Laura goes out. Laura goes to buys this like $60 bag
of
food.
Well, is this as big as a car?
No wonder you're working at Bellhaven on the weekend.
How big is the bag? $60, it better be like 8 feet tall.
I mean, it's like one of those like 10-pound bags.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, 10 pounds is not a lot.
Trust me,
weighs 110 pounds.
It goes in about 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
We heard how much Manny eats. He eats like every 10 minutes.
Dude, your dog is a freaking raptor. How much it eats? My dog doesn't eat that much.
It's a lock. He's overfeeding.
Speaking of raptors, put the movie expenses in for Jurassic Park: Fallen Kingdom.
Exactly. Well, again, that goes into other.
Can your dog even run?
Yeah, my dog runs like a horse.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, butt fast.
Probably the size of a horse.
It is.
Yeah, I believe it. All right, listen. Now, you guys completely nuked it.
What did CBS do yesterday?
I think it's up. It's on a bit of a heater.
All right, I need that.
It's right around 57.
Up? Yeah, it's always that way. It's like pretty good. In the 50s for months.
You know what? It's tickling about 2 months ago? 48. I'll take 57 all day long.
All right, listen, we got Chase Hughes coming up next. He covers the Wiz, of course, for NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk about the draft. And then at 9:20, we're getting back in the EP. I don't care what you don't say. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.